New Testament passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I'm sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all I'd told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one giving grudgingly. Remember this: a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your own heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. The word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you, Harold. A powerful scripture about giving, really. A powerful scripture about what God wants us to do and how he wants us to give to him. Now, you folks know that I don't spend a lot of time talking about this, that I don't preach about how much you give to church. I don't know how much you give to church. I don't know how much every family gives. I don't know what an individual gives. I have no idea. I don't want to know. I really don't. It's not my business. But I know that God knows, and I know somebody knows in the church who records all of this. But know that the attitude and the great blessing that Paul has by talking to these people in Corinth about their gift to the church in Jerusalem and how their passion for giving financially to God was a blessing to the people in Macedonia. And the Macedonian people heard about what was happening in Greece, heard about what was happening in the city of Corinth, and they said, hey, we want to be a part of this too. The people in Corinth are so thrilled to give to the church there in Jerusalem and kind of to the home base of the church, if you will. That, you know, we want to be a part of this too. We want to have part of this. And so it comes down to us, this great ministry of giving and giving to God. So we quickly want to go through this morning just kind of what the scripture has said about giving and about how we should give to God. There's two things here, two ways to look at it, two kind of options when it comes to your giving. First of all, you can give under obligation. And there are a lot of folks who do that. There are a lot of churches, there are a lot of preachers on TV and stuff who say, you know, you need to give, and if you don't give, God's going to get you. If you don't give, you know, you're going to be in big trouble. And they proof text scripture to prove that. I'll never do that. Never. If I ever do, you have every right to go to a session member and say, our pastor shouldn't be our pastor anymore. Because I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make you give under obligation. Never. Not for me to do. It's between yourself and God. But Paul said in verses 3 through 5, he says, I'm sending these brothers to be sure, really, you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believer came with me and found that you weren't ready after all I had told them. So I thought I would send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it, he said, to be a willing gift. Not out of obligation or not given grudgingly. When we give to God, and really you are giving to God when you give directly to the church, you are giving to God. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We listen to what God tells us as leadership in the church. We listen to it and we say, what's the best way for us to move forward as a church? So giving under obligation. Secondly, out of a willing heart. And, you know, he just said it there, that you should never give grudgingly. But listen to verse 6. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. That's the giving out of reciprocity. That you give and you will receive the amount that you give back. You'll receive it back from God. Now, if you want a little from God, go ahead and give a little. That's no problem. But if you really want blessing from God, you will give sacrificially. I know that sounds like I'm trying to make you feel guilty, or that I'm trying to say that if you give, you'll be healed of every disease and everything will be perfect for you. I'm not saying that either. But I will say, because I know this from experience, that when we give sacrificially to God, He will bless us in such a way that will be beyond our understanding. Okay? So the first example Paul gave was one out of reciprocity. Second, giving after you have made the decision to give to the kingdom work of the church. That's verse 7. You know, he says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver. Or God loves a person who gives cheerfully. It's your decision. I don't look over your shoulder whenever we fill out those pledge cards for giving over the next year. I'm not looking over your shoulder. I'm not gonna. You should give and make that decision yourself. Letter C, or third, giving, knowing that God will supply every need. Now I want you to know something. This isn't me telling you this. This isn't me telling you what you should know or believe. This is the Lord when he says in verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. How is God going to supply? He's going to give, what's the word? Generously. God will supply every need. Now, if we are people, again, who want to hold on to things, and that's the temptation in this world today, is hold on to the stuff we have with white knuckles because it could go away at any time. Very, very true. But when we give willingly, and we give cheerfully, and we give with an open heart, we give freely to God, God says that He will supply every need. Not my words. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Good stuff. And lastly, give freely. Freely. The scripture says in verse 9, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer. I love how he did that. He kind of went back to the idea of the farmer, you know. He went back to the idea of the farmer who would give, and the kind of the idea of reciprocity. But God had given to the farmer, so the farmer ought to freely give. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. So if the farmer gives greatly to the crop, then they'll sow greatly and there'll be plenty of bread. Had a lot of bread this weekend. Went out to eat last night at Armstrong's down in Moon. A lot of bread. They make their own bread there. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I love bread. Give me a minute. That was an experience. But give freely. Freely. This is how God wants us to give. All right? This is how God wants us to give. Now, I don't have my card. I don't. I don't have my card with me. I gave it in the first service. So it's out of my pocket. So I don't have it anymore. But at the end of my sermon this morning in the first service, and I thought I would do it in the second service as well. If you have filled out your card, if you brought it with you today, and you are ready to turn in your pledge card, that's great. If you need a minute to do that, we'll give you a minute right now to do that. I know there's a lot of zeros that have to be written, so. And there was great laughter among the people of God. But yeah, and you know what next year is? What's the year? 2020. So give with a 2020 vision. Give clearly with both eyes. Doesn't God gives us 2020 vision, doesn't he? So give with 2020 vision. Give freely. Give willingly. Give of your best. Not your worst. Not the leftovers. But give what's best. Michael looks like he's not doing much. And I've asked him to do a lot today. If you have your card ready, would you put it up? I know it's difficult sometimes to put it in the offering plate, but if it's ready, Michael, would you collect them? What a good guy. He does everything cheerfully. Everything. Of course, he drives himself on the way home. So he's probably cursing my name. No, you're not. If you have your card and it's ready, please go ahead, fold it, if you would. So no one can look at it, and raise your hand. Michael will come by, pass it maybe to the aisles. That'll be good. Oh, yeah. Gang, you know what? I have full confidence in you guys. Oh, boy, do I have confidence in you. We have seen an increase in the last 2 years in giving in this church, such as we have not seen before in this church. Really. Dramatic. Dramatic. I like it because Scott is just beaming from ear to ear when he comes to session meetings. He's just saying, did somebody get you, Deanna? Yes. Okay, good. But he is just beaming ear to ear. Folks, God is good. And really, he is just beginning to do some great things for us. And if we hold back now, it may stifle all of that. And that's true. It may put the brakes on. And brother, I am not one to put the brakes on when God is moving. Ain't no chance. I put the accelerator down. You've seen me on the highway, some of you. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your blessings. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to give to you. Lord, we don't want to be uncomfortable when we give. We want to give cheerfully. We want to give freely. Well, Lord, we don't give it out of expectation. We don't give because we're going to hold that over you over the next year. If things begin to fall apart, we're not going to hold that over your head. No. But you promise, Lord, that if we give freely and willingly with a cheerful heart, that you would supply our need. We're trusting in that, you see? We really are. So, Father, bless these gifts, I pray, and these pledges that we are making over the next year. And as they continue to come in over the next couple of weeks, may you bless, Lord, these cards and those who are writing on these cards. That we would give just the way you want us to give. We pray these things together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.